Just a reminder, there is a sermon outline on the very last page of your worship folder if you choose to follow along with the sermon in that way. There was a first grade teacher who sat her kids down in a circle and asked them what they wanted to be when they grew up. And they went around the circle and they all gave their different answers, and each stood up and one said, "I'd like to be a nurse like my mom." And another said, "I want to be a banker like my dad." Another said, "I want to be a teacher like you, Mrs. Smith." And then you had the last person to speak up, who was super shy and said, "When I get big, I'm going to be a lion tamer in the circus. I'm going to face those animals with my whip and chair and make them leap through the hoops of fire and obey all my commands." You can imagine all the kids were looking at that child with big eyes. They didn't know what to say. They didn't think that he'd be so brave. And he was quick to reassure them that, "Well, of course, I'll have my mom with me." So, yeah. At times, we are all called to stand in that ring, aren't we? With the lions. We may not always have the whip and the chair and the things to kind of keep us going, but yet we all face those moments of fear, those moments when the floor drops out from underneath us. That's Daniel in our text today, but it's also us. He faced literal lions, but we face lions that are just the same as well. And so we're in this series called Hero, looking at how God taps ordinary men and women of the Bible to do extraordinary things, heroic things, in a sense, for the sake of the gospel. And we're also looking at how God is tapping us right now, that we are all heroes in the making, that through life in God's Word and life under the cross, as we gather together in this place, God is at work to shape us, to mold us by His grace and mercy and love. And so today we're looking at Daniel, the beast master, has much to teach about trust when life is hard. So who is this beast master? The original comic book series that came out by Andre Norton in 1959. Bit of a sci-fi kind of take, and he could talk and tame wild animals with his mind. And he uses that ability to help people, to fight the bad things, and to help people be safe. And his big focus is on finding his way home. Finding home. Figuring out who he is and what he's all about. In many ways, this is like Daniel, a prophet of God. And so I would challenge us here today, it's a bit of a familiar text, right? But to look at this text with fresh eyes, like we're looking at it anew here this morning. Now, Daniel doesn't tame lions with his mind or anything like that, but he does rely on God, the fresh power of God working in him and through him. In chapter 6, a new kingdom is coming in the book of Daniel. And one thing a new leader does when they come into a territory and conquest a land is to set up a new government, a government in their own shape and liking and model, out with the old and in with the new. Verse 1 tells us that King Darius, the king coming in, divides the kingdom into 120 different counties. Each county had its own kind of mayor in charge of that county. And he then chose three men as governors over those mayors and counties to supervise 120. One of those three men was Daniel. And so superior in his leadership skills and abilities was Daniel that the king had plans to promote Daniel to become what we would call today like a prime minister over it all. And so, as you might expect, jealousy quickly started to rise up. Here's this foreign guy coming in to lead us. And so jealousy was rising from the locals. And by this time, Daniel was not a young man anymore. He's somewhere in his 80s. And I don't know if you realize that with the whole Daniel in the lion's den story. This isn't a young guy, but he is still at the prime of his game. Jealousy grew. And they see Daniel's quick rise in power. He still has good looks about him. And his accusers are described in the text to eat the pieces of Daniel. They're shredding him up. And so they sneak a plan for Darius to make a law to get rid of Daniel. And King Darius takes the bait, not realizing he's about ready to lose one of his most valued servants, or maybe even friends. The plan was simple: to set out a 30-day decree that the people were asked to deny God and just worship, and to worship God during those 30 days, to worship Darius instead. But Daniel couldn't obey that 30-day rule. And so Daniel knew of Darius's decree, and yet he prays anyway. His enemies catch him in the act. He's kneeling and facing Jerusalem at the time, and Darius tries to get the charges dropped, but he couldn't. So Daniel he's put into a lion's den. The tomb is sealed, and so King Darius, he couldn't sleep that entire night. He's worried about his friend Daniel. So the next day comes around, and the fascinating moment as Darius hurries to the den. He's tired. Early the next morning, he's thinking his best friend and maybe really good servant is now dead. He's calling out in anguish, almost a comical scene. King, or Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve so faithfully able to rescue you from the lion's mouths? And he thought for sure that there'd be nothing that was spoken back but silence. That when he got to the tomb, all that would be left would be bones and flesh torn to pieces. King Darius expects a tomb, but finds deliverance. When Darius sees Daniel, he sees something different about him. It was his faith in God that Darius saw as Daniel faced the lions and survived, as verse 22 says. Let's read it together. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm. They have not harmed me. Where are the lions rumbling in your life? Where are the places that you feel like you've been thrown into a pit and life is pressing in? You feel the lions breathing down your neck, the hairs standing on the back of your spine. Maybe even you feel the bite on your arm or on your leg or on your soul. Reminds me of a story told early on in P.T. Barnum's career. He created an exhibit called The Happy Family. And there was this cage with a lion, a tiger, and a panther, and a baby lamb, all in one cage. And the display, as you can imagine, brought a lot of people. And with a lot of people brought a lot of money. And so after opening, Barnum was asked about his plans for the happy family. And Barnum said the display will become a permanent feature if the supply of lambs holds out. So, yeah. We all face lions. Every one of us. Daniel, the beastmaster, shows us how to face them with trust. Trusting God and how to be a beastmaster like Daniel. There's a bit of a beastmaster code we're going to talk about here this morning, the thing that kind of allowed Daniel to stand in that den. First of all, to seek regular time with God. I did a little digging. I was kind of interested in this topic. It's fascinating. According to this year's numbers, in 2026, did you know that the average home in the United States has somewhere between, how many Bibles do you think we have in our homes? Not just Christians, but if you add everyone together. Believe it or not, 3 to 4 Bibles. I don't know where you rank in that, but Christians, we kind of push the scale up because a lot of us probably have more than that, right? but yet we have all these Bibles, but are we actually reading them? This is in the next statistic. 25% read it every day. That number feels kind of high as I think about that, but then we go on. 13% read occasionally, and 62% rarely or never read the Bible. Among Christians, among followers of Jesus, well over all of us, maybe these two sections, you guys read the Bible kind of sporadically every day or occasionally. You guys, sorry. Just kind of put it in physical terms. But then you read on. There was a surprising statistic if you kept reading in this article. 46% of weekly churchgoers don't regularly read the Bible. Half of us are not in the Word. We worship, but are we in the Word at least one day of the week? And then they're asked, well, why? Why are you not in the Word? And the two most common responses to that question of why they're not in the Word is, number one, they don't have time. And secondly, I don't know where to start. And if this is you, you don't know where to start or don't have time, talk to an elder or talk to me. We'd love to have a conversation with you on how to get started and or restarted in being in the Word. We've got great Bible classes and groups going on that we'd love to get you connected with. You know, Daniel prays to God three times a day, as the text says, with his windows open toward Jerusalem. This prayer time, being in the Word, was his rhythm to life, a habit for him. That regular time with God is a thing that sustained his soul when life was easy and when life was hard. But what about you? Where do you go when the lions roar, when you're having a challenging season? Where do you go when life is tough? Do you have a friend that you go to talk with, a spouse? Do you go to Jesus with your troubles? We live in a tough world. You never know where that lion is going to pounce next. And First Peter should scare us to our knees, right? Let's read it together. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. This isn't just a lion just sitting in the corner. No, it is seeking prey, seeking someone to devour, seeking someone that's kind of maybe nominal or not engaged with their faith, with their life, with God. It's sobering, isn't it? The thing about prayer and being in the Word is these are gifts God has given to us, a way to talk with Him that He provides, to be encouraged through these words found in the Word. If you remember in one of Jesus' most challenging seasons in His life, do you remember where that was? In the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Right before He's about to go to the cross. He's feeling the weight of that moment. He knows what He has to do. He knows the challenge. He knows what's about to take place. And yet, what does He do? He prays. He spends time with His Heavenly Father before the cross. Did He have to do this? No. But I think He does this to be encouraged from this Father who sees and who knows what's about to happen as well. I think we need those moments as well. We live in a tough world. This Word encourages. It is life itself. That's Beastmaster code number one, to have regular time with God. Secondly, to trust in the lion tamer. To trust in the one who closes the mouths of the lion. Can you imagine the lion's roar as he steps into that den, as the tomb is sealed? I mean, how would you feel in that moment? Have you ever been in a cave when the lights were turned out completely? Ever been on one of those cave tours? A few years ago in the springtime, I went on a cave tour to Fisher Cave, which was near Rolla, with the youth. And no, not a lion's den, but it felt like a cave, very much so. But we did see raccoons and tracks and bats, so there's that. No lions. But it was a fun tour, you know, ducking as you're kind of making your way through the cave because you don't want to hit your head on one of those rocks. That would hurt. And so this is a picture of us walking through that cave, and one moment will stick with me, when the guide turned off all the lights, and this is what it looked like. I tried to find a picture with those like googly eyes. I couldn't find one. But we've all felt this, haven't we? I don't know if you've ever been in a cave that has been completely dark, but we certainly know what it's like to walk through times of darkness, when you feel alone, when you feel just yourself and the struggles of this world, when you hear the lions roaring all around you, but you don't know where it's going to come from next. Will it pounce? Will it bite? What's going to happen next? Daniel certainly felt that same darkness as the lions are starting to prowl around him, to roar and to seek to devour Daniel. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Who is that someone? It's us, isn't it? He's seeking to devour us. And yet, the good news is, was Daniel the only one in that cave? No. God is in that cave with Daniel. He is not alone. But remember what the text says, and an angel of the Lord is with Daniel. Whenever we hear angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, you know what that should trigger in our mind? It's an image of who? Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus is with Daniel, this angel of the Lord, in that moment. The Logos delivers Daniel. As verse 7 reads, let's read it together. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord encamps, makes a home around us, protects us. You know, we certainly face big lions, loud lions, rumbling lions. At times, again, we feel their hot breath breathing down our necks. We feel the sting of their bites. But it comes down to trust, because to know that you are not alone, which leads to Beastmaster code number 3, to know that the rescuer has come to turn your tomb into a place of deliverance, to turn those dark places into something new, to remake them in his image. I don't know about you, but whenever I hear this story, it just has an eerily familiar sound to it, doesn't it? Think about these pieces of the story again. There was a tomb early in the morning. People running to the tomb. Someone is thought to be dead, but is found alive. Sound familiar yet? Are you connecting the dots with me? As we follow the Beastmaster who is able to tame death once and for all, from the cave of lions to the cave of death itself, the Lion of Judah, Jesus, rises victoriously for you and me and all creation. I love how the writer of Hebrews describes it in chapter 11. He says, by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions. God is at work to shut the mouths of lions in our lives today as well. And you don't need a whip or a chair to face the lions in your life. You just need Jesus, this word. On that day, on the cross itself, the Lion of Judah let out a roar so fierce and so loud that resonated throughout all creation. Those words, it is finished. The fears go away. Your pain is healed. The sorrows silenced. Worry demolished. Fear melted. And those lions, Jesus makes them like toothless little kittens. No bite at all. And if Daniel were here today, you know what he'd tell us? He'd say, do not fear the den. You know the deliverer. Father, we come before you. Life is hard. Life is scary at times. And sometimes we do fear. And we do have worries and anxieties and things that stir our hearts. We feel the breath of lions breathing down our necks. But yet we know that you are with us. You breathe life into us. And you rescue us. As you take these tombs that we find ourselves in, these lions' dens, and turn them into a place of deliverance, a place of something new, how you take the broken things, the broken pieces of our lives, and create a new thing. Thank you, Father, for that gift, that hope, that life that we have in you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, again, we're going to try these baskets out today for our offering. We'll see how it goes. They're a little bit bigger, just allows more space for the offerings as well as the Connect cards. But we'll pass them very similar.